Today Shir is Daf Tzadik Tes, and we're going to begin on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, the last line. Yesterday we had discussed the Mishkan, and particularly the covering of the Mishkan, that we had discussed two of them. We'll discuss them a little more in a few moments. And we said that they were made out of panels that were sewn together. We also had spoken about the Kroshim and the Adonim. The Kroshim were the boards, the 48 boards that were around the Mishkan, and the Adonim were the sockets that those boards were placed into. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana Charutzim Hayu Kroshim, the V'chlulim Hayu Adonim. They wanted it to be a perfect fit. So the way they made it a perfect fit was they carved out the Adonim, and then they made on the bottom of the kroshim such teeth-like protrusions that fit with a perfect fit the keresh into the adon, and they were all lined up and there was nothing sticking out, so it could be a flush. And regarding the ureis that we spoke about, we had the panels. So like we explained yesterday, the lower panel was 10 panels. So as the Gemara, the 10 panels, we had 5 panels sewn together and another 5 panel sewn together. And how were those two sets of 5 panels attached? They were attached with lulaws. The lulaws were like S-shaped loops, hooks. The nim crossing lulaws, these loops, these hooks, looked when they were attached to the ureis, kikaychavim berikia, like stars in the sky. Because this had like a bluish, it was colored with all different colors, as we'll see in a moment. And then with the gold against that background of all those colors, that shiny gold in that background looked like stars in the sky. Tana Rabbanan, Ureis Tachtonus, the lower cover of the Mishkan, Shatchelus was made out of blue wool, Agamon is purple wool, Talash Shani is red wool, Sheish and linen. Valyonois, the upper cover, were made out of Maiseizim, were made out of goat hair. Says the Gemara, G'doy l'choch m'shenemr bel yoynos, yoysh m'mash nemr tachtoynos. More talent and intelligence was required in making the upper urea than the lower one. T'ila b'tachtoynos k'siv, regarding the lower one, it says in the Pasuk, V'chol ish shechach m'slei b'yodeh, every smart woman, Tavu, embroidered those ureos. Vila bel yoynes ksiv, regarding the upper urea, it says, V'chol anoshim asher noson liban oisana b'chachma, anyone who was very intelligent, Tavu se'izim. They embroidered the urea from the goats here. What was the talent? What was the greater talent that was required for the upper urea than for the lower urea? V'tayim mishurim nechemya, shot of be'izim, they washed the hair while it was still on the goat, the tovim and izim. That means they embroidered the urea with the wool still attached to the goat. So, first of all, the Divrei Shaul explains, how do we see in these psukim that the Gemara just quoted that the second group of women were more talented than the first group? So he says, Chazal tell us, Yov chachimu l'chatmoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives intelligence to someone who's already smart. So he says, look in the pasuk. The first pasuk says, V'chol isha chachmas lei b'yodeh, the woman was smart. The second pasuk says, V'chol anoshim asher nosa liban asa b'chachma, they already had intelligence, they already had wisdom previously. Somebody who has wisdom previously is qualified to have even more chachma, to even have more talent. But now the question is very obvious. Very obvious question. What was the great intelligence that they were able to embroider and sew the ureis while the goat here was attached to the goat? But what's going to happen? They're going to have to cut it off anyway. So what's the need? If you're going to tell me they're going to be able to leave it on the animal, so that I can understand that there's a need for it. But I'm cutting it off anyway. So if I'm cutting it off, so why go through the bother, and why do I need the whole intelligence? Cut it, and then sew it like everybody sews normally. So really the Sephorna answers the question. And the Sepharna says that wool that's still attached to the animal is shinier, has more luster than wool once it's cut off. So even though they were going to cut it off, the moment they were going to give it to the Mishkan, they wanted it to be as beautiful as possible. How could they keep it as beautiful as possible? By sewing it while the wool was still connected to the animal. So now the question is, what about the wool on the lower one? So they should have done it for the wool on the lower one. The wool on the lower one, nobody says they connected while it was attached. They sewed while it was attached. So that he says, because since the lower wool, anyway, the pasuk says was dyed, chelus vagomen, blue and purple and red, so it's dying anyway, so there's no point, we're going to color it anyway. That's the way the Sepharna learns. But there's a beautiful pshat that I saw from Yonis and Eipschitz in the Meshech Chochma. They say like this: if a woman was in Nida, every woman wanted to contribute and participate in doing something for the Mishkan. Everybody wanted to participate. But let's say you have a woman, and even if she goes, they did all the work in the Mishkan first thing in the morning. You have a woman who's a Nida, and even if she goes to the mikveh, she's still tamei, because we learned many times she's a tful yoim. She has to wait for the night. By the time night comes along, the job's done. And she feels very bad that she wasn't able to participate. But the halach is that a Baal Chai is not tamei. So that's why they went out of the way to sew the wool while still connected to the animal. And the Meshech Chochma says, that's what the pasuk says. The first pasuk says, V'chol Isha, every woman, selected women, and what was one of the qualifications? That they were in Nidos. Because they were in Nida, they can't contribute, they can't participate. What does the second pasuk say? V'chol HaNoshim, all women. What does all women mean? Why does the first pasuk say V'chol Isha and the second pasuk say V'chol HaNoshim? Because the second pasuk is including women that couldn't be included in the first pasuk. Why couldn't they be included? Because they were Nidos. So V'chol HaNoshim, all women, even the women who were Nidos, wanted to participate, but now I have a problem. How can I let them participate? They're going to be metame what they touch. So that's why the pasuk says they did it while it was still attached to the animal, and there's no problem because the Baal Chai is not metame.
They still done that with the other kings, then, in both instances.
They didn't have to do everything. We just wanted to give them a chance, at least in something. Shnei Guzustras, so we learned in the Mishnah. The first Mishnah, the Perek, discussed the Melacha of Moshet. How did the Melacha of Moshet work? That people, the Levim and the Agolas, were handing the Kroshim from one wagon to the other wagon. And says the Gemara, and we discussed the Agolos yesterday. Agolos, these wagons on which they transported the Kroshim, Tachteim, the area under the wagon, Ubeineim, the area between the wagons, Bitsideim, and the area on the sides of the wagon, all are Rishus Rabbim. All have the status of Rishus Rabbim. So the Paiskim say a very interesting thing. We spoke that what's one of the requirements of Rishus Rabbim? A requirement of Rishus Rabbim is that it has to have 600,000 people. So Mefarshim speak, what's going to be the halacha, which is very common? You have a street that has, during the week, 600,000, when there's traffic. On the weekend, there aren't 600,000 people. Does that still have a din of Rishus Rabbim? Or does it have to have 600,000 people on that road all the time? So they bring a proof from this Gemara. The Gemara says that the area that the Agolos traveled on are Rishus Rabbim. Now, while the Agolos on that road, there's no 600,000 people on the road. Because the Agolos traveling on the road, you can't travel under an Agola. So how could you say that that street isn't Rishus Rabbim? The answer is that since generally it's a road that has 600,000 people, even if right now it doesn't have 600,000 people, it doesn't make a difference. So now Gemara discusses the dimensions of these agolas. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye ben agola l'agola. How much space was there between agolas? Kamale orich agola, the length of an agola. The kama orich agola, how long is an agola? Hey amos, 5 amos. So the Gemara is saying is that every agola is 5 amos long, and there was also 5 amos between the agolas. Ask the Gemara,
And like Taisa says, the Gemara just said this for a simen. We should be able to remember the number 5. Ask the Gemara, Lamali, why do I need to have 5 amis, bedalut upal gesagi, it's enough 4.5. Why? Explains Rashi. As we learned yesterday, the krushim were stacked on the agolos. There were 48 krushim, 12 krushim to an agola. So, as we learned yesterday, there might have been 3 stacks of 4 or 4 stacks of 3 on each agola. What does it depend on? The dimensions of the krushim were 10 in the height, 1.5 in the width, and 1 in the thickness. So let's say you put them on the width, and you'll have 3 piles. So 3 times 1.5 is 4.5. And even, says Rashi, a bigger kasha, which is included in the Gemara's kasha, Rashi says, and that's the way the Gemara said yesterday, that we didn't put them on the width, we put them on the thickness. So if you can put 4 piles, how many amos do you need? 4 amos, because each one is an amos thick. So why did they have to make that goal of 5? It would have been enough to be 4 or 4.5. Answers the Gemara, Kehech de lo lichul krushim. You're right. It would have been enough to make him 4 or 4.5 long. They made him 5 just because the krushim shouldn't be too packed together. And moreover, the Rishonim explained, because on the krushim, as we learned yesterday, were rings, in which they put the poles. So you had to leave a little room for that. So that's what that half amma took care of. Amarava. Sidei agola. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Sidei agola. Kamale roichav agola. If you take the two sides of the agola, that means, what's an agola? Agola is in a wagon, and every wagon has on the side wheels. So if you take the two sides of the wagon, that means if you go from the side of the wagon till the end of the wheel, you combine both sides, that is equal kamale roichav agola, to the same width as the agola. Meaning, the agola itself was 2.5 wide, and the combination of the two wheels, each wheel was an arm and a quarter. An arm and a quarter plus an arm and a quarter equal 2.5. Sidei hagola, the two sides of that gola, 1.25 plus 1.25 is kamale, is the same width as the reichel hagola, 2.5. Ask the kama reichel hagola, how much was that? Shtei amos umechtzah. Ask the Gemara, lomali, what do I need that it should be so wide? Not that 2.5 is really that wide, but why do I even need 2.5 amas? But amma or pal sagya. The way we're going to explain in a moment, most of the krushim protruded from the agola. That they protruded anyway. So if they're protruding from the agola is just the base. So why do I have to have a 2.5? It could be 1.5 also. Answers the Gemara: Kehechi d'leilidu krushim. The more of a base you have for the krushim, the less likely that the krushim will tip. So we made a decent base of 2.5 amos that the krushim should not tip. Now, let's just figure out how it looked. We explained that every agola from the end of one wheel to the other end of the other wheel is 5 amos, because the agola itself was 2.5 and the wheels were another 2.5. The agolas, according to Rashi, traveled in a formation of 2 pairs. So we have like this. We have each agola being 5 amos from wheel to wheel. You had a space of 5 amos in between, and then you had another agola. So you have 15 amos altogether. 5 agola, space of 5, and another 5. That's one pair, and another pair behind or in front of it. It matters where you're standing. How did the krushim lay on top of them? The krushim actually took up 20 amos, because each keresh is 10 amos long, so it protruded 5 amos past, it protruded 2.5 amos past that agola on the side, on the right and the left. So you had 2.5 amos keresh, 5 amos agola, 5 amos space, 5 amos agola, 2.5 amos space. That's how you have your 20 amos. But that agola itself, with the space in between, how much did it take up? 15. We know, we've said it many times, that how wide is the Rishus Rabbim? A Rishus Rabbim is 16 amos wide. But if that gola traveled on the road, and the road is 15, because that's how much space you need for that golas, so ask the Gemara, where do we get to the number 16, when we always talk about a Rishus Rabbim, the number should be 15? Ask the Gemara, El the Kaimon, what we've said many times, Derech Rishus Rabbim, Sheish Esrei Amo, that the Rishus Rabbim is generally 16 Amos wide, Ananda Gemri Lama Mishkan, where do we learn all the Shurim from the Mishkan? The Chamishkan Chamisra Havi was only 15, says the Gemara, Amsi Yisera Havi, you're right. If you go from end of one Agola to the end of the other Agola, it's 15 Amos. But they left an extra Amo, Davakoi Ben Levi, and Ben Levi walked behind the Agolas, the Kimishtafi Kroshim have a Nakalhu. We left the extra half an Amma on each side that in case the Kroshim started falling out of place, he could run in and put them back into place. So that's how you have the extra Amma. Now Rashi asks the obvious question. You don't need 15 Ammas, you need 20 Ammas. Because as we explained, the two Kroshim that were gone from one end to the other end, that were laying flat across, is 20 Ammas. So if anything, instead of the Gemara asks Rashi, then why do you need 16? 15 is enough. The Gemara should have said, then why is 16 enough? You need 20. Rashi's great question. Answers Rashi like this. We know, and we're going to speak about it still a lot, Rishus Rabbim only goes up to 10 Amos. The Agolas themselves were 10 Amos tall. The Kroshim were above 10 Amos. So you're right, the Kroshim need 20 Amos in the width. But that 20 Amos is an area above the Rishus HaRabim. So I can't ask Kashis from that area. Because I'm talking about the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara wants to know about the Rishus HaRabim. The area where the Kroshim were was not in Rishus HaRabim airspace. It was above the Rishus HaRabim airspace. The wagons themselves were 10, so the Kroshim were above. One more point. There's an interesting shiloh the Pais can talk about. We just learned from this Gemara, we know it from before, that the width of Rishus Rabbim is 16 Amos. Where we know it from? We know it from Dagolos, because Dagolos, we just explained, took up 16 Amos in the width. Ask the Paiskim, what's going to be the halacha when we determine Rishus Rabbim? Since, as we learned in this Gemara, they traveled in a formation of two agolas, two pairs, one behind each other. So maybe Rishus Rabbim is not just it should be the length, the width should be 16 Amos by the length of two agolas, which will be approximately, it will be about 15, but also about 16. So Rishus Rabbim should have to be at least 16 by 16. Not just 16 in the width, but 16 in the length also. Because if you take the two pairs of agolas, they're pretty much 16 in the length also. And some Paiskim want to say that the minimal shear of Rishus Rabbim is not just 16 in the width, it has to be 16 in the length also. 16 by 16. No, you have 16 in the width, and then you have 16 in length, because you have one agola in front of another agola. Says the Mishnah, Chuyas Habar Vasela. Chuyas Habar is when you dig a pit, you take out the embankment around the pit. Vasela, or a stone, Shein Gvayin Asara, if they are 10 Tvachim tall, V'rochman Arba, and 4 Amos wide, Potter, you Potter. Why? Because that's considered Hanoitim. If somebody puts something on them or takes something from the Rishus HaRabim, so it means you transport from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, and you chayiv. Pachas mikayin, but if they're less than this, then they're not an independent Rishus HaYachid, and you Potter. Because you didn't carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So the Tzlach makes a very important point here. He makes the point, let's learn the Mishnah. It's going to be relevant as we get into the Gemara. It says like this, Hanoitel Mehen, somebody takes from them, Vanoisen Al Gabon, and somebody puts on them. Why does the Mishnah change the Lashon? It should have said, Hanoitel Mi Gabon, Vanoisen Al Gabon. So it says like this, he says, to be Chayif for an Akira is much more difficult than to be chayiv for hanocha. And we'll see it in the Gemara. Akira, we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechta, is more of a significant maisa than a hanocha. Why? Because an akira is the beginning of the malacha. Hanocha is just finishing it off. When I have a stone, he says, that's daled by yud, I have a real rishus hayochid. Therefore, an akira from there is chayiv. But when you have an embankment, the embankment itself doesn't have the, isn't yud by dalet, as we'll learn in the Gemara. It's only yud by dalet in combination with the bar. So since the embankment itself doesn't have the shear of rishus hayochid independently, the halach will be that an akira from the embankment itself will not be considered an akira. That's what the Mishnah says. Hanoitel mehen, only one. Which case? The case of the stone. V'hanoisin, hanoch, it's easier to have a hanoch than a kira. That's why al-gabon in both cases, both by the chulya and by the sela. Ask the Gemara. Lomli l'misni chulya tzabav ha-sela. Why do I have to teach the case of a chulya tzabav sela? In other words, they both are teaching us the same halacha, that an area that's yud by dalid is a rishus hayochid. Listening, we should have taught us, habor, that a bar, and like the Pnei Yeshua explains, if the Mishnah would have just said habor v'asala, I could understand. The Mishnah is teaching us that a rishus hayochid could go in either direction. It could go upwards, which would be a sela, or it could be downwards, which would be a bar. But why do I have to say chulyas habor? What do I gain from learning about the chulya? Says the Gemara, Mesaila le Rabbi Yochanan, what we're learning here is the din Rabbi Yochanan taught us, Dom Rabbi Yochanan, bar v'chuyosoi, mitztafen lasara. Let's say the bar isn't yod deep. You need the embankment to get the yod. The halach is that it's mitztarf. Now, first of all, Taisus discusses, when we say that the bar is mitztarf with the chulya to get the required 10, is that only a halach in the depth, or is that also a halach in the width? That means like this. You don't have, let's say, the opening of the bar is not dalad wide. But if you include the embankment, you'll have dalad. Will it be included or not? Taisus says it is. The Rebbeinu Chananel says it isn't. Now, another shaila. Taisus asks. Says, there's a Mishnah Masechta Gittin that if you have a bar and you have a wall, the bar is 5 and the wall is 5, they're not mitztarif. And here we're saying that they are mitztarif. So is it or isn't it? So the Rishonim say a very interesting answer. They say it makes a difference if that chulya belongs there or not. A chulya, an embankment around the bar, belongs there. That's why it's mitztarif. A wall that doesn't belong there is not mitztarif. Tanya Nami Hochi continues to Gemara. Bar Rishus Rabim Amuki Yod V'Rechava Arba. So it's Rishus Yochid. So the Loch is Eim Malah Himena B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to draw out water from it to Shabbos because you would be taking from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabim. Elm Ken Oslo Mechitzes Gevoya Yod. Unless you make Mechitzes around the bar, and then that entire area is Rishus Yochid. Ask Taisus. There's a famous Gemara Masecht Ervin. The Gemara Masecht Ervin talks about Pasei Baros. That if somebody's traveling, they used to travel, they didn't have water, but they had a water pit. So the halach is that you take 4 poles, 4 pasin, and you put rope around those 4 poles, and you could stand inside that area, and it's a Rishus HaYochid, and you could drink from the pit. Here it says that you have to make real wall, Mechitzos. Why over there isn't good enough? So Taisa says that it doesn't work. The halacha pasei baros only works by ber maim chayim, by a live spring, or by a bar harabim, where the rabim need the bar. Here we're dealing with a pit that's not for the whole population, and it's not a ber maim chayim, so you have to make real walls if you want to be able to drink out of the bar. Moreover, you can't stick your head over and drink from the bar. Why? Because we're afraid that you may take the water out. You're standing outside the barge, you'll be carrying from Shishayachit to Shisrabim or Shishayachit to the Karmelis. Elm kein hichnes loy roish shivarubay. Unless you put your head and most of your body over the bar. Why? Once you put most of your head and your body over the bar, so then I'm not concerned that you're going to schlep the water out from the Shishayachit to the Karmelis. One more halacha, which is what we're trying to prove. Ubar v'chul yasoy. Mitzdaf and Lasara. Ask the Gemara. Boimene remot chmerova. Omid b'rshus rabim. If you have a pole in b'rshus rabim, gevoy yud v'roch of dalid. It's 10 by 4. So that pole is b'rshus ayochid. V'zorak v'noch al gabov. And now something lands. You throw something and it lands on top. Mal. Mayamin hare kia b'isr. I made an akir in b'rshus rabim. Hare Hanochab is and the Hanoch is on top of the pole, which is Rosh Hashayachid, and it's therefore Chayiv. Adilma, Kiva the Makam Ptor Ka'asya, Loi. Since it comes from Makam Ptor, why? Because you throwing it from above Yud. We know that, we said it before already in today's Shir, that the area above Yud Fachim is not Rosh Hashayachid, it's already Makam Ptor. So when I throw an item, I'm standing with Shus Rabbin, I throw an item. So I throw it, it goes above the Mokim, it goes above Yud Tvachim. And then it lands on top of the Rosh Hashayachid. So it's going through the Mokim Ptor, and Rosh Hashayachid, Rosh Hashayachid, Mokim Ptor, Rosh Hashayachid, and that's why maybe I'm Potter. Because I'm not going directly from Shus Rabbin to Rosh Hashayachid, there's a Mokim Ptor intervening. Asks Tosfos. He says, what kind of question is this? He quotes two Gemaras that we learned both of them already that proves that Avadi Yechayiv. He says, the Gemara says that they, beginning of the Masechta, that they used to have the store, which was Rosh Hashayachid. They had the plaza in front of the stores, which was Rosh Hashayachid. And then they had such a, where they kept their wares in between, which was a Makom Ptor. And the halacha is that if you carry from your store to the plaza, it's considered you went from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid, even though you went through a Makom Ptor. Or, he asks another question. Gemara that we quoted a few times in the last week. Let's say the Gemara says somebody's carrying something in Rosh Hashayachid. From Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid, so we learned that even if the item he's carrying is above 10 tefachim, you're still chayiv. Why? Because the Gemara said, Shekein Masa B'nei Kohos. The B'nei Kohos walked that way, that they carried. The proof was from the Aron, that the Aron was above your Tfachim. If you remember when they spoke about the shoulders. So now the question is, you see, now, so they're carrying from Makom Ptor. They started in Rosh Hashayachid, they carried on the shoulders through a Makom Ptor, and then they deposited in Rosh Hashayachid and Yechayiv. So what's the Gemara Shaila? So Rapirus in Taisvis says a very interesting teretz. He says, of course, if somebody's carrying something straight from Rosh Hashayachid through a Makom Ptor to Rosh Hashayachid, Yechayiv. We have a number of examples in this Masechta that we've learned to prove that. He says, but what happens, he says something in physics, what happens when you throw something? When you throw something, you throw it up, so the trajectory is first going up, and then it starts going down. The going down has nothing to do with you. That's gravity. You know, the going up is from your force. The going down is not from your force. The going down is from gravity. So if you threw something or if you walk straight, so there was always your force involved. So even though it went through Makom Ptor, it's chayiv. But here the going down through Makom Ptor is not because of you. The going down and through the Makom Ptor is because that's what physics, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So it's not your action. There's an independent action here of something going through a Makom Ptor. And maybe because it has that independent action of going through a Makom Ptor, he wanted to know maybe a potter. That's the way Tosfos answers the question. The Ramban answers the question differently. He says like this. Normally, a Rosh Hashayachid, we say good achas b'chitzta. Let's say you have a house and it has a roof with walls around it. We say that those walls go up to Shemayim. So as soon as it comes on top of the walls, you're on top of a Rosh Hashayachid. That area is already considered Rosh Hashayachid. He says, however, by a pole with just a basket on top of it, I don't say that that Rosh Hashanah goes up to Shemayim. I don't say good asik, because it's only a pole. It's not a house. So therefore, the area on top of this pole is maybe a makom p'tor. So since it's a makom p'tor and it's on top of 10, because the pole itself is 10, so now you're on top of 10, so you're not in a, it never landed in Rosh Hashanah, it landed in a makom p'tor. Ramban. Amalei, misnesenhi. The question you asked is answered in our Mishnah. Also Shailah Rabbi Yosef, he asked the same question to Rabbi Yosef. Amalei misnesenhi, it's our Mishnah. Also Shailah Labaya. So he's also told him, Amalei misnesenhi. Amalei, kula berokita hadadi tfisu. You're all spitting from the same spittle. In other words, you're all telling me the same, but I don't know the answer. Amalei, vatloi tisbara. Don't you know that there's a proof from our Mishnah? Let's see what it says in our Mishnah. V'tanan, it said in our Mishnah, Hanoitel mehen, if somebody we have a seller, which is Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because it's Dalet Bayud. What it say in our Mishnah? That if somebody takes something off the seller, or Vanoitel Gaban, we'll just talk about the seller, but it's the same thing in the bankment, or you put something on top of the seller, Yechayiv. Now, what's the seller? The seller is exactly Yud. Now, this is why Taisus learns. Our Mishnah doesn't differentiate how something got put on top of the seller. It would even be if you threw something on the seller, the way Taisus explains, the way he explains the Gemara. Now, if you're saying that when you throw something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then going down, it goes through a Makom P'tor, your potter, so why if I threw something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim onto the seller, am I Chayiv? It went through a Makom P'tor. Or, the way Ramban explains, the seller is not a house, so there's no good osik. So when it lands on top of the seller, it's above Yud. It's an area of a Makom P'tor. Why you potter? Why you chayiv? Obviously, you chayiv even in this case. Amalei, so he says, there's no proof from our Mishnah. Dilma, m'masnisim machat. Our Mishnah is talking about a needle. Says the Gemara, machat nami. Good. You're talking even about a needle. E'efshah deloy midla perta, but the needle also takes up a little room, which is above the ten tefachim. Says the Gemara, two trutzim. Inam disley morsha, we're talking where this stone has a crack that's below your tefachim, and that's chayri rishus ayachid, that's considered the holes of rishus ayachid, that the halach is chayri rishus ayachid, has a din like rishus ayachid, that's where the needle fell in. Inami, the rami becharitza, or it has a crack on top, and the needle fit in snugly into that crack, and that crack is below den tfachim. But in a case where it would be firmly rooted, or firmly landed on top of ten tfachim, it could be that the halach is that you potter. But all the rishonim say, since this is a very difficult way of learning the Mishnah, to say that the Mishnah is dafka talking about a needle, and that the stone dafka has a crack is a little contrived. So from here we see that even when you throw something from Rosh Hashanah Yochid, from Rosh Hashanah Ram to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, even if it goes through a Makom P'tor, Yechayiv. Om Rav Meisha, Boy Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan asked the following question. Koysel Rosh Hashanah Yochid, if you have a wall in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, I'm sorry, Koysel Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you have a wall in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Gvay Yud, Vein Ruchava Arba. It's 10 high but not 4 wide. Umukaf Lakamlis. But this wall, so this wall itself is not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because it doesn't have the right dimensions. Umukaf Lakamlis. But this wall encircles a Kamlis, Vasar Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And therefore it makes this area into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Vazar Nach Al Gabav. And now you threw something, and it lands on top of this wall. Mao. Mi aminin, kiven de ene roch of dalet, since this wall isn't dalet wide, makom tohu, and you're not chayif, if you threw from it onto a, if you threw from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim onto it. Oy dilma, or maybe I could say, kiven de asor Rosh Hashanah Yochid, since this wall is so powerful, that it made an area which was previously not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So I say, command the molly dummy. It's considered like this whole area is full, and even the wall is just an extension of the enclosed area, and it's like the wall is dalad wide. Oma Ula, so Ula says Kavachoyma. I'll tell you Kavachoyma. L'cheirim ois mechitza. If this wall is so strong that it makes an area that was previously a karmelis into a Rosh Hashayachid, la'atzmalei koshkein, it certainly makes itself into a Rosh Hashayachid. So the way Tosfos explains the Gemara is like this. If, he says, you have an area which is a Rosh Hashayachid, and now you have a wall around it, that wall makes the Rosh Hashayachid into Rosh Hashayachid, there I certainly say the Svara, that in Lachayim, if it can make something else Rosh Hashayachid, it itself is certainly Rosh Hashayachid. However, Tosfos says, the Gemara's question was, not that I made a Rosh Harabim into Rosh Hashayachid. I made a Karmelis into Rosh Hashayachid. Since I made a Karmelis into Rosh Hashayachid, maybe I don't say that the wall accomplished so much, because the area was only a Karmelis. On the other hand, I say it did accomplish, and if accomplished, it is itself Rosh Hashayachid, and the Gemara says it is considered an accomplishment, and it's considered a Rosh Hashayachid. Now, the Har Tzvi says something very interesting based on this halacha l'maisa. It's not something that we would normally do, but it can happen. The halacha is like this. Let's say you don't have a sukkah, and you got it, and people have to eat. So you can make a human sukkah. What do? You take people, and you make a human box, and put tzchach on top of them, and you got a sukkah. The Gemara talks about this. So he says, based on this Gemara, the person that walks in between the people could certainly eat. He's eating in a sukkah. He says, based on this Gemara, the people who are at a wall would also be allowed to eat. Why? The same svara. If it helps for the people inside, it should certainly help for the people outside. Itmanami, Omar Rav Chibar Ashi, Omar Rav, V'ken Omar Rav Yitzchak, Omar Rav Yochanan, Kois B'Rishus Ram Gvoi Yod, Vein Roch of Arba, Umukif L'Karmelis, it encircles the Karmelis, V'as Rosh Hashayachid, and by encircling the Karmelis, it made that area into Rosh Hashayachid. The Loch is, Azorik V'Nochal Gabov, if something lands on top of it, you threw something and you landed on top of it, it's Chayiv. Why? Lachem Ois Mechitza, but it has the power to make something else Rosh Hashayachid, Latzim L'Koshkin, it certainly has the power for itself. Ask the Gemara, Bar Rabbi Yochanan, Bar Tisha, you have a bar that's only 9 Tfachim deep. The halach is that something that's only 9 tefachim deep is not a Rosh Hashayachid. V'akum menachilya, and you take out from it a piece of earth, v'shlim l'asira. And when I take out the piece of earth, now it's 10. So mahu, what do I say? Do I say kiras chayfitz v'sis mechitz v'hadeh dodikasi? I took out this piece of earth and I made it into Rosh Hashayachid simultaneously. So I'm taking it out from Rosh Hashayachid and mechayif. When I took it out, when I started taking out, it wasn't yet a Rosh Hashayachid. Although now it's already a Rosh Hashayachid, what I did previously, I'm not chayif. Says the Gemara, if you'll say, since when I took it out, it wasn't yet a Rosh Hashayachid, that's why loy mechayif, what's going to be the halacha bar yud? You have a bar that is yud deep, so it's a Rosh Hashayachid. And I put a piece of earth into that bar, and miato. And now it's not 10 deep. But what do I say? Do I say anochitz chayfitz v'silk mechitz b'hada adodikasi? It comes at the same time. So when I put down the thing, I'm chayy, because when I put down this piece of earth, it was still Rosh Hashayachid. I loy mechayif. So the mefarshim will ask, why did the Gemara have to phrase the same question once by Akira and once by Anoch? It's essentially the same question. So the Farshim say like this, something that we said at the beginning of the shiur. An Akira is much more of a significant act than an Anocha. Why is an Akira more of a significant act? Because Akira is the beginning of the Malacha. It gets the whole Malacha rolling. The Anocha is just a finishing touch. So Gemara's question is, to be considered an Akira, maybe it's not enough of a maisa to be considered an Akira. Because an Akira, that starts the Malacha. It has to be something substantial. This isn't substantial enough. But maybe for a Hanocha, which is less significant, it's enough to be a Hanocha, or maybe not. Says the Gemara, Tif Shleim Didei. Let's bring the following Raya. The Tnan, it says in the Mishnah, Hazorik, Mishnah we're going to learn tomorrow. Hazarik Abba Amis Bekoisel, if somebody throws in Rosh Hashanah against the wall, Dalar Amis, If it's lamal masar tefachim, if what you threw was above 10 tefachim, is kazarik ba'avir. Why? Because like we said many times today, rishus rabim doesn't exist lamal masara. Lamata basara, but if it's below, if what you threw was below 10 tefachim, it kazarik ba'aretz, vazarik ba'aretz arba amas chayv. Vavinimba, we asked, if I throw something against the wall, all it's going to do is just bounce off the wall. And we've been saying that to be chayif for haitzah, you have to have an akira and a hanacha. V'am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan answered that question. B'debei l'shmeinu sheninu. We're talking about a sticky substance that will stick to the wall. So let's understand this. I threw something, when the Mishnah says dalet amos, it could be exactly dalet amos. If I threw something dalet amos and it sticks to the wall, it protrudes from the wall, so it takes off from the dalet amos. So how come a chayif? V'may hakam amat mevaba amos. So he says hasla mevatel. You know why you're not chayif over there? Because you don't intend that it should remain there. So since you don't intend that it should remain there, the dalet amos are considered from where I am to the wall, even though right now there's a sticky item that's diminishing from that area. Hacha. But in our case, Mevatale, I intend to keep it there, and since I intend to keep it there, that's why you can't compare the two cases. Boy Rava, Zorak Daf, if I threw a board, V'nocha Gabi say this, and it hit and it lands on top of pegs, on top of poles that are 10 tefachim high. My Kamaboyle, Hanochat Chavit Vasis Mechitza. Do we say it lands on top and now I have Rishus HaYochid because I have an area of Yud by Dalit? Or so it says Haine de Rav Yochanan. That's the exact same question that Rav Yochanan asked when you take out the earth from the bar. So he's not coming to ask the same question, because like Mefarshim will explain, everybody was familiar with Rav Yochanan's question. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ki kam boile, ki going the Zorak Daf. I threw this board and the board hit the pegs. So it could be that when it hits the pegs, I'm not chai because the Rosh Hashanah Yochid only was formed at that time. So that's not considered yet a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. But there's an item, there's an object on top of that board. So now, what do I say? Kivin about Dodi Kaasi. Since the item and the board hit at the same time, it's kanaf, it's chayvet vasiz mechitza dami. And if the mechitza, so it's not yet a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or kivin dalai ef should lay middle purta. When you have an item on top of a board and the board lands, how does it work with the item? The item will take a small bounce and then fall back down. So that second, the bounce up and the second falling is already falling onto Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Since that's a fact of physics, that it can't happen without that, comes the same time, and the Gemara says, Taiku. Asks Rav Kivega, and we'll leave with this. Rav Kivega asks a great question. He says like this, you're right. The object on top of the board will take a bounce. How much of a bounce will it take? A millimeter, nothing. As long as the bounce is less than 3 tefachim, it's loved. So it's connect. It's what does loved tell us? That it's still as if it's connected. So what does the bounce make a difference? He stays with the tzarchin.